Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe b'midbar Sinai b'ohel Moed b'echad l'chodesh hasheni b'shana hashenit litzeitam b'eretz Mitzrayim l'emor.
OU Israel presents...
Come in. Welcome.
Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky, and this show is officially the Parshat Bamidbar, but I will be speaking about Yom Yerushalayim, which was yesterday, and about Shavuot, which is next Wednesday, before my next show. So this is the pre-Shavuot show as well, all wrapped into one. Recording and first broadcast, Yom Chamishi, Thursday, Kaf Tet, Iyar, 5770, the 29th day of the month of Iyar. In Iyar's case, that's the last day of the month, which means tonight is the eve of Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Last night, Wednesday night, and today, Thursday, the Omer count was 44 days, which are 6 weeks and 2 days. And you know what that means, the countdown, even though it's a count up, it's still like a countdown to Shavuot. But let's call it a count up. And there's a whole drash to give on that. How come, if this was an anticipatory count from the Exodus to Revelation at Sinai, how come we count up rather than down? You all remember the days in school when somebody announced 18 more days of school, 13 more days of school, 5 more days of school, and that's the usual way that people count in anticipation of something. But there is a reason why the counting was increasing rather than decreasing. Be that as it may, without further ado, and since yesterday was Yom Yerushalayim and tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh, and I know that you're not listening to this show yesterday, but you might be listening to it tomorrow. That's a funny way to put it. So, since the recording at this moment is when Tachanun is said, although I can claim afternoon, okay, that's the verdict. Again, yesterday, not relevant, but it was Yom Yerushalayim, we didn't say Tachanun. Today, this morning, we say Tachanun. This evening, this afternoon rather, which is when the recording is being done, it is already Mincha time prior to Rosh Chodesh, and we don't say Tachanun either. And all of that is in way of explaining why instead of Psalm 130, we're going to do Psalm 121, Tehillim, Kuf, Kaf, Aleph. Shir la ma'alot, esa einai el heharim, me'ayin yavo ezri. Ezri me'im Adonai, osei shamayim va'aretz. Al yitain lamot raglecha, al yanum shomerecha. Hine lo yanum v'lo yishan shomer Yisrael. Adonai shomerecha, Adonai tzilecha, al yad yeminecha. Yomam hashemesh lo yakeka, v'yoreach baloila. Adonai yishmorcha, mikol ra yishmor et nafshecha. Adonai yishmor tzeitecha uvoecha, me'ata v'ad olam. Achenu kol beit Yisrael, hanetunim batzara uvashivya, ha'omedim bein bayam uvein bayabasha, המקום ירחם עליהם ויוציאם מצרה לרווחה ומאפלה לאורה ומשיבוד לגאולה, השתה בעגלה ובזמן קריב ונאמר אמן.
As I mentioned already, yesterday was Yom Yerushalayim, the 43rd anniversary of that day in 1967, the third day of the Six-Day War, when Yerushalayim was reunited under Jewish sovereignty and Jewish rule. The Kotel, Har HaBayit, the Temple Mount, came back into Jewish possession, and that day was declared as the commemorative and celebration of the events of the Six-Day War. Now here is, I believe, a very important point to ponder. I don't know who was responsible for choosing the third day of the Six-Day War as the day that would be perpetuated in a holiday. I don't know who chose the name Yom Yerushalayim. Basically, I like the choice. I like the name. I live in Yerushalayim. And Yerushalayim means so much, not just to the Jews who live in Yerushalayim, not just even for the Jews who live in the land of Israel and in the state of Israel, but Yerushalayim should be very, very special to all Jews all over the world and throughout a major portion of Jewish history. I still feel that there's something amiss in the choice of the day. Not that I don't celebrate it. I say full hallel with bracha in the morning. I do other things to celebrate the day. I regret a little bit, and I'll tell you why in a moment, the choice of which day and the choice of the name. There is a perception, a misperception, if that's a proper word, that in Israel, that Yom Yerushalayim is sort of like for people in Yerushalayim. And there are many people around the country who don't live in Yerushalayim who celebrate, but not enough. It's perceived in certain segments of the population as something that belongs to Jerusalem. The reporting of events during the day made several commentators made a note that Yom Yerushalayim is largely observed by religious Jews, much less so by secular Jews, which is a tremendous chaval, as they say, a tremendous shame. If Yom Yerushalayim were to mean the Har HaBayit Biyadeinu, the Temple Mount is back in our hands, and its spiritual and religious significance, in theory, which is a whole other story as to how it has not really been put into practice yet, by no means fully, very, very partially, but that's not the point. But if we focus on the spiritual aspect of Yerushalayim, then that probably explains why people see that more religious Jews and fewer secular Jews celebrate the day. I believe that the real significance of Yom Yerushalayim, and call it anything else you want, is a celebration, a commemoration, an acknowledgement of the phenomenal victory of the Israeli army during the Six-Day War. God's hand guiding, and IDF, Tzahal, performing in a spectacular manner, helped by all kind of little things, to pull off a military victory maybe unparalleled in the history of the world, and certainly the envy of countries and people and armies all over the world. I don't know how strong that envy has been maintained these 43 years, but certainly there are textbooks and books and talk shows and all kind of documentation about amazing events that occurred. If, and I don't think it's an if, I think it is fact, Nasser of Egypt, prior to the Six-Day War, was not only rattling his sabers and was not only shooting off his mouth about driving Israel into the sea, but he was taking steps in that direction, expelling a United Nations peace force that had been in place in Sinai on the Egyptian-Israeli border for 10 years, ordering them out of the country, massing troops, tanks, and armaments on the border with Israel, closing the Straits of Tiran to all ships flying an Israeli flag and to all ships carrying strategic material to Israel, regardless of their registry. All of these are acts of war. And on Monday morning, June 5th, 1967, the morning of the 26th of Iyar, Israel launched a spectacular preemptive strike on the Egyptian Air Force. The accounts of that day's battles are just astounding. How anyone could not see God's hand and God's total cooperation and participation in that victory, I don't understand. And this is not meant to take away from the greatness of Tzahal, because this was a partnership effort. God partnered with the Jewish people. The Jewish people's representative during that period of time was the Israeli government and the Israeli army. And that is what every Jew all over the world should celebrate on the anniversary of the Six-Day War. Had they chosen the seventh day, the day of rest following 6 days of war, perhaps that point would have been stronger, would have been made in a stronger manner. Had they called it something else, Victory Day, Six-Day War Day, Six-Day Day, I don't know, perhaps the message would come across differently. I'm not knocking Yom Yerushalayim. I say it again. I observe the day. I celebrate the day. I walked in the streets today watching the parade of hundreds, thousands of people going to the old city and waving flags and the music and the dancing. I'm all for that. But to, I don't know if this is a nice word, to trivialize the significance of the Six-Day War, saying it's the day that, I won't finish my sentence because it's not at all trivializing it. Reunifying of Jerusalem is a wonderful thing. It was not the goal of that war. It's something that fell into our laps. It's something that we are very happy about, not everybody, and very thankful for, not everybody. But it should not have been the center and the focus of attention as much as it is, to the detriment of the events of the Six-Day War all over the country. That first day that I referred to, I read some stuff on the internet. Just amazing. Imagine this. Egypt on full alert for an attack from Israel, shuts down part of its missile defense system because there was an intelligence report of a rebel group of Egyptian soldiers who were planning to shoot down an Egyptian plane carrying a high-ranking army official. And in order to prevent rebel Egyptians from shooting down Egyptian plane, the entire, almost the entire, Israeli Air Force, according to what I read, 12 planes remained in Israel. All the rest of the planes were committed to Egypt and totally destroyed the Egyptian air force, air power, on the ground. I want to make this clear. I'm not advocating changing the date of Yom Yerushalayim. I'm not advocating changing the name of Yom Yerushalayim. I'm advocating teaching Yom Yerushalayim with a different focus and emphasis that every single Jew in Israel and around the world can identify with it and share in that thanksgiving to God and in the celebration of the events that occurred. Obviously, this is a retrospect for this year's Yom Yerushalayim. My brother pointed out that 43 years of reunited Jerusalem has an extra significance to the number 43, since Yom Yerushalayim is the 43rd day of the Omer. So this is the first and only time that the Omer count will coincide with the year count from 1967. A small point, but cute. Nice observation. Before we move past the topic of Jerusalem to the approaching Shabbat and to Shavuot, let's hear another track from the Beit Achon, West Side Zmirot a cappella, since technically the policy that we're following is no musical instruments until after Sfirat HaOmer. This is the Zmira of Friday night called Curry Bone, and the connection is in the last stanza, L'mikdashech Tuv. Come back to your temple, your sacred shrine, that there in joy our souls may entwine. In song our voices to combine, when Jerusalem's beauty again will shine. Birushalayim, in Jerusalem, Karta Dishufraya, the beautiful city. Curry Bone is Aramaic, which is unusual for the Zmirot. They're mostly in Hebrew. And the Koren Siddur attempted an English translation that also is rhyming to fit the mood of the Zmira. Here is the a cappella version of one of the melodies of Curry Bone. Curry Bone Allah,
Shemayah, Karibon Allah.
You are listening to Torah Tidbits Audio for Parshat Bamidbar. It's really more like for Yom Yerushalayim, for Rosh Chodesh Sivan, and for Shavuot. We'll see how much we get in. But I would like to call your attention to the fact that this today is Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan, and there is a special prayer that was composed to be recited specifically on this day. And it is a prayer that is appropriate all year round. I will get to it in a moment. The prayer is attributed to Yeshaya ben Avraham Halevi Horowitz, better known as the Shla, for his main work, the Shnei Luchot HaBrit. He is also referred to as the Shla HaKadosh, the Holy Shla. And he writes, this is the English translation of Art Scroll, "It is particularly important to pray for good and upright children. While praying for this, one should also ask God to provide them with all their needs and to send them their life's mate. I believe that the most appropriate time to recite this prayer is on Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan, for Sivan is the month when Hashem gave his Torah and when we began to be called his children. It is proper that every husband and wife fast on that day and repent, committing themselves to improve all areas of their home life, and let them give charity to poor people of character. This is the prayer that they should recite. I am not suggesting that you fast, I am suggesting that you take a look at this prayer, and you can look it up on, you could Google it, as they say, look it up on the internet, download it. It's available in Hebrew. This is the English translation. It was you, God, before creation, and it is you, God, since creation. From this world to the world to come, you are God. You created the world in order to make your godliness known through your holy Torah, as the sages of blessed memory taught, Bereshit, in the beginning, the world was created for the sake of Torah, and for the sake of Israel, for Israel is your nation and your heritage. It is the nation you chose from all others, to whom you gave your holy Torah, and which you brought close to your great name. To ensure the continuation of your Torah, we received from you, God, two commandments. You wrote in your Torah, Peru Urvu, be fruitful and multiply. And you also wrote, Vishinantam Livanecha, you shall teach them to your children. These two commandments have a single purpose. You did not create the world so that it be desolate, but rather that it be inhabited by people. It is for your honor that you made, created, and fashioned the world so that we, our offspring, and the offsprings of all your people, the house of Israel, know your name and study your Torah. Uvchein, and so I come before you, God, King, who reigns over kings, and I cast my supplication before you. My eyes dependently look toward you until you will be gracious to me and hear my plea and grant me sons and daughters. And may they too be fruitful and multiply, they, their children, and their grandchildren until the end of all generations, so that they and I might be engrossed in your holy Torah, learning, teaching, safeguarding, performing, and fulfilling all the words of your Torah's teaching with love. Enlighten our eyes in your Torah and attach our hearts to your commandments to love and fear your name. Avinu Av HaRachaman, our Father, Merciful Father, grant us all long and blessed life. Who is like you, Merciful Father, who recalls his creatures mercifully for life? Remember us for eternal life, just as Avraham, our father, prayed, Oh, that Yishmael might live before you, with fear of heaven. It is for this reason that I come to ask and plead before you, that my children and grandchildren be upright offspring, that no blemish or imperfection be found in my children or grandchildren, that they enjoy only peace, truth, and goodness, and that they be upstanding in the eyes of God and man. May they become people of Torah, masters of Scripture, Mishnah, and Talmud, masters of the secrets of Torah, people of mitzvot and acts of kindness, people of sterling character, and may they serve you with love and with true, internalized fear of heaven, not merely apparent fear. Please give each individual among my descendants all their needs in an honorable fashion. Grant them health, honor, strength, and give them stature, beauty, charm, and kindness. May there be love, brotherhood, and peace among them. Provide for them proper mates from families of Torah scholars and righteous God-fearing Jews. And may their mates also be blessed with everything I have asked you to grant them, since one prayer can affect the lives of many. You, Hashem, know all deep secrets, and before you all the recesses of my heart lay bare. You know that all which I ask is for the sake of your great and hallowed name, and for the sake of your holy Torah. Therefore answer me, God, please answer me, for the sake of our holy patriarchs, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, because the forefathers assist the offspring so that they grow to be branches which reflect their roots. Do so for the sake of King David, the fourth leg of the holy chariot, who sings, inspired by your Holy Spirit. A song of ascent, Shir HaMalot, this is from Tehillim, Ashrei kol yirei Hashem haholech bedrachav. Yegia kapecha ki tochel ashrecha v'tov lach. Eshtecha kegefed poria biarkete beitecha bodecha kishtile zeitib saviv l'shulchanecha. I'll read it. English. Praiseworthy is each person who fears God, who walks in his paths. When you eat the labor of your hands, you are praiseworthy, and it is well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine in the inner chambers of your home. Your children shall be like olive shoots surrounding your table. Behold, for so is blessed the man who fears God. May God bless you from Zion, and may you gaze upon the goodness of Jerusalem all the days of your life. And may you see children born to your children, peace upon Israel. That's Psalm 128. Final paragraph. Ona Hashem, Shomea Tfila, please God who hears our prayers. May the words of the prophet, and as for me, this is my covenant with them, said God. My spirit that is upon you and my words that I have placed in your mouth shall not be withdrawn from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your offspring, nor from the mouth of your offspring's offspring, says Hashem, from this moment and forever. It's a quote from the Navi Yeshayahu, 59:21. Be fulfilled regarding me. May the expressions of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart find favor before you, Hashem, my rock and my redeemer. Yehu l'ratzon imrei fi, v'hagyod libi lefanecha, Adonai tzuri v'goali. I apologize if this was a little rough in my reading, besides my stuffed nose at the moment. It was a little difficult, but the idea is here. It is a beautiful concept that we focus on praying on behalf of our children, and hopefully they will grow to pray for their children and their children for their children throughout the generations. The prayer was composed for Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan. If you have a chance to find it on the internet or in a Sidur, and say it today, fine. Could also be said tomorrow, any time up to Shavuot, any time after Shavuot. It is a timeless prayer, but it has that focus given by the Shla on that particular occasion. Here is another track from the Zmirot album, this time at daytime, Zmira Yom Zeh Mechubad.
Yom Zeh Mechubad Mikol Yamim Ki Roshav Atzur Olamim Yom Zeh Mechubad Mikol Yamim Ki Roshav Atzur Olamim Sheshet Yamim Tasem Lachtecha Melachtecha V'yom Ashri Leilokecha Leilokecha Shabbat Lo Taseh Bo Melacha Omelacha ki chol asa sheishet yamim yom zeh mechubad mikol yamim ki moshav atzur olamim yom zeh mechubad mikol yamim ki moshav atzur olamim rishon hu lemikrai kodesh mikrai kodesh Yom Shabbaton, Yom Shabbat Kodesh, Shabbat Kodesh, Shabbat Kodesh, Avin Kodesh, Yeno Yekadesh, Yeno Yekadesh, Al Shtei Lechem Yivtzu Tmimim, Yivtzeu Tmimim, Yom Zeh Mechubad Mikol Yamim, Kimo Shabbat Tzur Olamim, Yom Zeh Mechubad Mikol Yamim, Kimo Shabbat Tzur Olamim. Echo Mashvanim Shetei Mamtakim, Shei Mamtakim, Ki Kel Yitein Lecho Bodeveikim, Be'yem Liyu Bosh Lechem Chukim, Lechem Chukim, Pas בשר ודגים וחומת עמים וחומת עמים יום זה מחובן מכל ימים כי מושב בצור עולמים יום זה מחובן מכל ימים כי מושב בצור עולמים לא תחסקו בו ואכלת וסבעת וסבעת וברכת את השם אלוקיך 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 אשר השמיים מספרים 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 כבודו וגם הארץ מלחסתו ירדו כחולה לעשה ידו עשתה ידו כי הוא הצור פעלו תמים פעלו תמים יום זה מחובל מכל ימים כי מושב בצור עולמים יום זה מחובל מכל ימים כי מושב בצור עולמים יום זה מחובל מכל ימים כי מושב בצור עולמים
That was Yom Zeh Mechubad from the West Side Zmirot album of Beit Achon. The refrain of that particular Shabbat song, this day is honored above all others, for on it he who formed worlds found rest. Parshat Bamidbar is going to get the short end of the stick in this show because I want to talk about Shavuot. But let me make the following observation. The cycle of Torah reading throughout the year plugs us in to certain events that occurred in biblical times. The cycle of the calendar year also plugs us in, and sometimes differently, contrastingly, and interestingly. Case in point, Shabbat Parshat Bamidbar. Almost always the Shabbat right before Shavuot, which means we're working in one track in weekly Torah readings and in a different track in the cycle of the year. In the cycle of the year, we, starting tonight, enter the month of Sivan. Because it is right before Shavuot, it is not just any Sivan that our minds go towards, but the original month of Sivan after we came out of Egypt. And we are fresh out of Egypt, already having experienced the miracles there and the miracles of the crossing of the sea. And we arrive on the first day of Sivan at Sinai Wilderness, approaching Mount Sinai, from where we will receive the Torah. Very different picture in the cycle of the Torah readings, because the book of Bamidbar begins a year later, not quite, let's say 11 months later. We already have had the experience of receiving the Torah, which is commemorated on Shavuot, and we have encamped at the foot of the mountain for the last 11 months. And because we know what's coming up in the book of Bamidbar, we know that we are embarking not on a quick trip into the land of Israel where we are supposed to be going, but we will be spending the next 40 years wandering in the wilderness. That is in sharp contrast to the hopeful potential situation as we approach Shavuot. And what makes it all the more poignant is the fact that Shavuot is not just Zman Matan Toratenu, the time of the receiving of the Torah, but it is also the holiday that marks, or that commemorates, or that celebrates, points out, focuses on the coming into Eretz Yisrael. Among the names of Shavuot, Zman Matan Toratenu is sort of like a descriptive term, but the name has different forms, and one of the names of Shavuot is Yom HaBikurim, the Bikurim Day, the First Fruits Day, really the beginning of the Bikurim season. And Bikurim, the First Fruits, that mitzvah is not just one of the many mitzvot hatluyot ba'aretz, mitzvot that depend upon the land of Israel. It is perhaps the quintessential mitzvah that captures our life in Israel. The bringer of Bikurim is a landowner who grows produce on his land in Eretz Yisrael, specifically among the seven species, wheat or barley, other grains related to it, grapes, figs, pomegranates, olives, dates, almost left one out, and he takes these precious first fruits and he puts them in a basket and brings them to Yerushalayim, to the Beit HaMikdash, and he presents them as a gift to the Kohen that is accepting them, and he makes a recitation, a verbal declaration, which in essence says, this is my background. Our ancestors were enslaved in Egypt, and they cried out to God, and God heard their cries, and took them out of Egypt, and brought them to this place. And here I am. And these are my first fruits. And I am thrilled and delighted to be here. Not in Egypt, not in the wilderness, not in Borough Park, Muncie, Teaneck, you name it. I am thrilled and delighted to be here. Here are these fruits. It is an expression which, as an association of Shavuot, means that the whole purpose of our existence as a nation, as a people, as a religion, Judaism exists, the Jewish people exist for two things: to live a life by the Torah in the land of Israel. It has not always been our privilege to be able to do that, but that was the plan. That was what God said to Moses, to Moshe Rabbeinu, at the burning bush, the very, very first time he appeared to Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu's first nevuah, first prophecy. God says to him, I am going down into the land of Egypt to take the people out and bring them to a land flowing with milk and honey. And then he sends Moshe to the people and says, therefore tell the people, I am God, and I am taking you out of Egypt and taking you unto me as a nation, and I will be your God, and I will bring you to the place that I swore to your ancestors that it will be theirs and their descendants, and I am giving it to you. We have a package deal. We sometimes violate the terms of the package deal, but it doesn't change the fact that the deal is we were taken out of Egypt in order to receive the Torah and live by the Torah in the land that God wants us to live in. Shavuot, even if many people associate it only with the receiving of the Torah, Shavuot is equally associated with the agriculture of Eretz Yisrael, Chag HaKatzir, the festival of the reaping, the Shtei HaLechem, the two loaves that were baked from the new crop of wheat cut at Shavuot time. Those Shtei HaLechem are a major mitzvah of Shavuot. We've been counting the Omer period, which culminate in this offering in the Beit HaMikdash, and the start of the Bikurim season, Yom HaBikurim, and that becomes the essence of Shavuot. The Torah itself does not tell us that Shavuot was Zman Matan Toratenu. Our sages, of course, figured that out and attached the commemoration of the receiving of the Torah to Shavuot. But Shavuot celebrates two things, Torah and Eretz Yisrael. On that note, I wish you a Chodesh Tov, Shabbat Shalom, and Chag Shavuot Sameach. Lehishtameah.